All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Couple of quick tweets, then we gotta go. Eddie writes in, I love when Cenk gives these inspirational videos. Thank you, Eddie, appreciate that. And I Am Sock says, the messier the primary, the better in my opinion. Agree with that as well, Mr. Sock. Elizabeth Marshall and Philip Wallstrom are our members of the day. Members make this show possible. So tytnetwork.com/join. I'm pretty sure we're giving you a perspective that you're not getting in the mainstream media. I don't remember them going ballistic that progressives are not getting a fair shake on CNN. Pretty sure they have Dana Loesch on instead. Okay. Yeah. All right, what's up,
Anna? All right. CBS has decided to part ways with its senior counsel. In fact, this is executive counsel who formerly worked at CBS and was promptly fired after she shared her opinion in regard to the shooting that took place in Las Vegas. Haley Gethman Gold is her name, and she had been with CBS for a little under a year. And apparently she felt the need to share her opinions about the victims of this mass shooting and essentially said that she didn't really care for them. Let me give you her exact statement. She said, if they wouldn't do anything when children were murdered, I have no hope that repugs will ever do the right thing. I'm actually not even sympathetic because country music fans are often Republican gun toters. So the first part of her statement is something that, you know, we have heard a number of people say. We've even made that argument using different words. But the second part of her statement is what got her in trouble, showing that she has no sympathy because these are country music goers who probably support, no gun legislation. It's not good. So yeah. They fired her immediately, and here are some screenshots of what her posts look like. And then here is a statement from CBS. A spokesperson said the following: this individual who was with us for approximately 1 year violated the standards of our company and is no longer an employee of CBS. Her views as expressed on social media are deeply unacceptable to all of us at CBS. Our hearts go out to the victims in Las Vegas and their families.
I have a mixed reaction to this story, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because did she say the right thing? Of course not. And you don't know first of all, you don't know the politics of those people. Second of all, it doesn't matter what their politics is. You should have sympathy for anyone who's a victim. So that's not debatable. That's not an interesting conversation. And I understand that CBS had to do what they did, because her comments were too over the top. And I'll apply the same standard for right wingers as this person who is clearly on the left, which is, hey, you know, Facebook is public. As a person who has a job that's somewhat public facing, she's not a government official or anything like that, but you should think that through and know that your company's probably gonna have to do something if you say something that outrageous. The only reason why I have any mixed feelings is that Republicans do this all the time, and they do it systematically, and their actions are so much worse than her words. So Republicans make sure that we don't have any gun control. Early in the year, they took away legislation that would prevent people who were mentally ill from getting guns. These people are so mentally ill, the government has adjudicated, and their family, friends, everybody agrees that they can't get a social security check. They can't be trusted with their own money. But the Republicans said, let's just give them guns. It's okay to give them guns. They can't have a dollar, but they can have guns. They think that people on the terrorist watch list should be able to buy guns. Why? Because they get paid by the NRA. Mm-hmm. So their actions in allowing this country to be awash with weaponry. I mean, the guy in Vegas had this thing that for $99 you could buy that allows you to fire your weapon automatically with hundreds of bullets at a time. Okay, that's legal. That's legal. Why? Because people who are atrocious corporate shills for the NRA, including some Democrats, allow that, and then we die. So I find their actions to be far more deplorable than what she said. Now, I understand why CBS did what they did, but they're always a panic. Like, you have to bend over backwards for Republicans. If a liberal ever says anything wrong, gone instantly. No one ever defends her, and we're done with it. And her career is done, and she has no allies whatsoever. Republicans do outrageous things, say outrageous things, they get elected president. Everybody has the entire Republican Party has their back, and they never back down. So
yeah, look, I agree with you 100% when it comes to, you know, the questionable policies that those on the right continuously support, and how you know, any type of aggressive criticism of those who support, you know, more, you know, abilities to buy guns, you know, those people deserve to get criticized. There's no question about it. But at the same time, and I think we both agree on this as well, look, you're part of the left. I'm guessing she identifies as a Democrat, considering the way she referred to Republicans. And as a Democrat, you know, you're supposed to be an individual who supports and really values tolerance. And so these are victims. These are people that were gunned down. A, you don't know what their political identity is. Just because they're at a country music festival doesn't mean that they're 100% Republicans. Just because they're Republicans doesn't mean that they support, you know, any type of legislation that would make it easier to obtain guns. So she just completely generalized about those people. And besides which, doesn't matter. Even if they have or hold those political beliefs, you don't act as if, you know, shooting and killing them isn't that big of a deal. Who cares? I have no sympathy. That's just, it's just not the right thing to say. And it goes beyond being offensive. It shows a certain level of, you know, heartlessness that is, you know, I wouldn't want to work with her. I wouldn't want to be, you know, sitting beside her while she makes those types of statements, and I wouldn't defend her.
So I don't know. Look, whenever a liberal says, and that was one wrong sentence, the world comes down on them, including us. And I said it, Anna said it, rightfully so, right? Mm-hmm. One wrong sentence and you're eliminated forever. Kurt Schilling can say anything he wants. The Republicans support him forever. He's a lunatic who used to be a Red Sox player. I don't know why I picked him out. Sheriff David Clark. I can name you 1,000 examples. Donald right. Trump. They could grab women. They could do anything. They could take actions, and there's never any consequences. So what I'm tired of is the uneven playing field. So half of her statement is absolutely right. If they wouldn't do anything when children were murdered, I have no hope that Republicans will ever do the right thing. That is absolutely right. That is not what I'm criticizing her for, okay? So an uneven playing field where if the left goes outside of the lines for one sentence, eliminated forever, okay? The right wing have no lines, have no barrel. And you know what that winds up doing? It winds up dragging the entire political spectrum in Washington, not the country, but in Washington to the right.
You're right about that.
And so I'm sick of the double standard.
No,
so next time any Republican says any wrong sentence, I hope that the right wingers who are outraged by this story will join us in saying they should immediately be fired. Immediately fired, right? Right? Wait. Anna, I thought they were for freedom of speech.
I know.
I thought if they're loathsome pricks on the right wing, we're getting paid $20,000 a speech, that they have every right to it. Right, freedom of speech. Doesn't she have a freedom of speech? Oh, you don't care about her freedom of speech. That's interesting. So we have principles that are consistent. You shouldn't say that. Of course, CBS has a right to terminate you if you go cross the line like that. So right wingers, on the other hand, have no principles, have no consistency. And they will turn around tomorrow and say things way worse than this. And if you even criticize them, you use your speech to criticize them, they'll turn into special little snowflakes who will say, oh my God, I'm being attacked. Where's my freedom of speech? So let's just keep it real. That's the state of affairs in America.
One thing that I do want to add to it though is the reason why there is an uneven playing field and the reason why Washington seems to be pushed further and further to the right is because, and we've said this before, Republicans are really good at doing something that Democrats are not good at, right? Republicans do not apologize. Republicans are relentless in their criticism. They latch onto something and they won't let it go. Hillary Clinton with the Benghazi thing, we did not stop hearing about Benghazi. We still hear about Benghazi. It's unbelievable. Whereas Democrats, they don't do the same thing. They don't use the same tactics. And they are incredibly apologetic. They are immediately apologetic. And that's, look, I don't know whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing. Now, it's a bad thing when we're in a system where you have one party that is unapologetic. But at the same time, I don't want Democrats to turn into Republicans. I don't want them to latch onto non-issues as a way of criticizing and delegitimizing someone.
You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you who the culprits here are. It's generally the media. The media, who's no matter what you do, will call it even. One liberal at one media organization said one wrong sentence, well, that now we're going to call it even for all the alt-right madness, for all the neo-Nazis, for all the people who say that we should hate Mexicans, we should hate Muslims, we should hate Jews. Instead, we're going to call it even. I can't tell what's worse, right? And so what do? They encourage liars, they encourage bad behavior. And they say if you're a Republican or a right winger, you're almost always gonna get away with it. But if you step one inch out of your lane as a liberal, you'll be eliminated forever. So it's the media's fault that we have this uneven playing field. If they had the same standard for the right wingers, then fine, no problem at all. But they don't, they bend over backwards and go, oh my God, don't call me a liberal. Right wing, you can say anything you like. I've seen it 1,000 times and it's hurting the country.
All right, let's move on to a different angle in this shooting story. Hours following the mass shooting that occurred in Las Vegas, there were a number of fake news articles that were going viral on social media. Now, you could have found these articles on a number of different platforms, including Google's trending news or Facebook's trending news. And unfortunately, there was an orchestrated effort in order to push out false information or misinformation regarding the perpetrator of the mass shooting. So according to the New York Times, when it came to Google, trolls from 4chan had spent the night scheming about how to pin the shooting on liberals. One of their discussion threads in which they wrongly identified the gunman was picked up by Google's top stories module and spent hours at the top of the site's search results for that man's name. So
oh, that's so funny, 4chan. So when the authorities, cops are trying to find the right guy, hey, let's waste their time. Maybe the guy could murder more people while we're having fun on 4chan. That's so funny. You're so 15 years old, or worse yet, you're a 35-year-old and you're the saddest man alive. And you know, I don't know what picture they use in that particular case. And God forbid if you pick the wrong guy and it's an actual citizen, and it's not a meme. And then people are going to go chase that guy, and God knows what they're going to do. It's so funny when we encourage violence. We're such a crack up at 4chan.
Yeah, and look, I know that in the past, 4chan or forums on 4chan have done things as practical jokes, and they do think it's funny. In this case, it appears to be an orchestrated effort to pin the blame on liberals. Like, oh, this is an anti-Trump, Rachel Maddow watching shooter, right?
Hey, 4chan, thank you for admitting that you're on the wrong side. So anyone who participated in this, not everybody in 4chan did this. Okay, for the folks who did it, right? You have to lie about how it's a Rachel Maddow supporting liberal, because you know that likely it's a right winger. And it's right wingers who don't want any gun control, who encourage guys like this guy to buy 42 weapons, who celebrated that. And you know that you're on the wrong side. That's why you have to lie. See, if you weren't on the wrong side, you wouldn't have to lie. But you do that, and you do it on purpose because you know you're wrong. So that's fine. Thank you for the admission that being a conservative equals being a dirtbag. So that's why you had to lie about liberals, because you don't actually have any goods on them. Okay, thank you for the admission. What's next?
Oh, damn, salty jank. I'm enjoying salty jank today.
Okay.
Okay, all right, because I'm feeling very light and fluffy, so.
Not me.
You take over the salty part. All right.
Right wingers lie pathologically. They do it all the time, and our stupid media calls it even. When do you ever see a left-wing organization or a blog or a forum just make stuff up and go, oh, the right wing did a mass murder? Are you kidding me? If they did 1% of that, the rest of the media would rise up in their fury and go, look at these despicable progressives. How dare they do this, right? A shooter once thought of Bernie Sanders. Oh my God, it's Bernie Sanders' fault. Now these guys, they lie for a living. That's what they do. I don't know if they think it's funny. They know that they're wrong and pathetic, so they do it. And everybody's like, oh, okay, well, that's the right wing. That's okay. Let's just keep calling it even.
Yeah, look, it's obviously not okay, but propaganda has always been around. What makes this situation different is that more and more people are relying on social media in order to get their news. Now, some of those people get their news on social media because of its convenience. Most people are on social media throughout the day anyway. But there's also this lack of trust toward traditional forms of media. And so it's kind of crazy when it comes to younger generations, there's more of a reliance on social media. And these are individuals who know how to basically play the algorithm game, right? This is all about algorithms. How is it that their fake news stories manage to get the attention that it does? They know how to optimize, you know, certain tags and certain headlines in order for these stories to go viral. So that was Google. Now let's go on to Facebook.
Before we do, let me just explain a little bit more detail on that Google part. So how did they get the story in the Google's top module? Well, since they picked the wrong guy and they knew it's the wrong guy, that guy has no search results about him. So it search results about him being the shooter go to the top for his name.
I know.
Which then is how they game the system into having everybody think that it's a liberal guy that did the shooting, etc. And they think that's clever. And I get that that is interesting strategy if you're a pathetic pathological liar who likes to waste people's time while we're looking for a mass murderer. Okay? And if you think that that's a fun game, okay, mission accomplished, nice job, okay? But there is no equivalent of that on the left. There are monsters in the world, and they're almost exclusively on the right wing side. Now, you're not gonna hear that in the mainstream media because they're too scared to tell you the truth. But look at it, over and over and over again. Who are the ones lying? Who are the ones making things up? Who are the ones distracting the authorities? Who are the ones wrongly accusing people? The right wing, the right wing, the right wing, again here.
So when it comes to Facebook, again, according to the New York Times, an official safety check page for the Las Vegas shooting prominently displayed a post from a site called Alt-Right News. The post incorrectly identified the shooter and described him as a Trump-hating liberal. Some users saw a story on a trending topic page on Facebook for the shooting that was published by Sputnik, a news agency controlled by the Russian government. The story's headline claimed incorrectly that the FBI had linked the shooter to Daesh terror group, also known as ISIS.
So, oh, by the way, right wing, enjoy your Russian comrades. So you guys are thinking along similar lines. Putin wants us to go right wing and love Trump. You want us to go right wing and love Trump. So way to work for the Russians. You must be so proud. I remember decades of right wingers talking about, oh, Democrats, they're with the Russians. Democrats aren't tough enough on the Russians. Now you're the Russians' bitch. So how do you like them apples?
So I just want to make a quick comment about the link to ISIS, because ISIS did claim responsibility. I mean, now this guy wasn't linked to ISIS at all, but ISIS still claimed responsibility for it, which I thought was interesting. We still don't know what his motive was. He didn't leave a note behind as far as we know so far.
You know why? So sometimes the shooters or the guys who are doing the killings, especially in Europe, are linked to ISIS. And sometimes they have no links at all. And so the Orlando shooter, who had a lover inside the gay nightclub that he shot up, happened to be Muslim. Before he went on, he didn't want to say, I'm gay and I'm bitter and I shot up the place. So he said, oh yeah, sure, I'm doing it because I'm Muslim. And ISIS jumped all over it. And everybody, the right wing helped him, helped ISIS by propagating that he worked with ISIS when there was actually no evidence that he in any way took a tangible step with ISIS or worked with them. And our authorities say that, right? So ISIS thought, they'll give us credit for anything. What does it matter if the guy's Muslim or not? A paddock? Yeah, sure, he did it for ISIS. And the right wing's like, yes, let me help ISIS more by propagating that.
So I think that's relevant because just because ISIS wants to claim responsibility, I mean, they want to take credit. You know, that's like a badge of honor for them. They're proud of that.
And the right wing is their best friend when they do that.
That's right, exactly. So anytime they claim responsibility, it doesn't mean that that individual was linked to ISIS. All right, and then finally, Google, Facebook, all of them, they're saying, no, it's our algorithm issue. We're working on it, we're working on it. Okay, whatever, your algorithm sucks. And obviously you can't, I mean, these are the best and brightest engineers and coders and people in tech you could ever imagine, and they still can't figure out how to avoid these stories going viral.
But I actually don't agree with that. Uh-huh. And so, look, and I think it is. And by the way, let me just put my conflict of interest out there. Okay, so we're partners with Google and Facebook, so it's fair to point that out. Okay, mm-hmm. And I'm pointing it out. But look, the New York Times article makes a great point. The algorithm, and they have to use that algorithm. There's not 60 billion people on the earth to collate all these search results, okay? They must use an algorithm. So when they use an algorithm, even if they have humans who are then going to correct it, there is some period of time between the algorithm picking that news story up and putting it to the top, and a human coming and going, oh my God, no, that's not a legitimate news story, and taking it off. Mm-hmm. And the 4chan's of the world, or the people at 4chan who specifically did this, go, yeah, I see, that's a good way to game the system. And there's an extra trick in there. They then turn around and blame Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these other things for it, and they help to destroy the internet. Because you know what? New York Times writes a story, it's a good story, it's got all the facts right, etc. Okay? Then the rest of the media picks it up and goes, you see that? You gotta do something about shutting down Facebook and Google. Not shutting them down completely, but we gotta get in there and we gotta suppress them a little bit, etc.
Well, our legislators wanna go in and start regulating social media to prevent the spread of fake news. But you have legitimate concerns when it comes to that, because Pew Research found that 2/3 of Americans get some of their news, at least some of their news, from social media. And social media is incredibly powerful in pushing out information that politicians don't like and that the mainstream media refuses to report. And so does Congress have an interest in, squashing that as much as possible? Absolutely. And so I'm very cognizant of that, and I'm concerned about that as well. But that being said, this is a real issue. And I think one of the biggest problems is that the country lacks media literacy, being able to tell the difference between a legitimate news source and an illegitimate news source. And then even that conversation gets very tricky, because what if an independent, legitimate, and credible news source emerges? And since it doesn't have any name recognition, does it mean that people just think, oh, this is not legitimate?
No, but that's exactly right, Anna. So mainstream media and television is the best friend for people in power. They had gatekeepers that strictly controlled, and if you criticize the establishment, you will be removed from television. So we've seen it happen over and over again, and it literally happened to me. And the guy who runs MSNBC told me to my face, so I know it for a fact. So when they see a story like this, they're like, perfect. The internet's killing us. Facebook and Google are eating our lunch. So this is a great opportunity to attack them and to regain power. And so those guys that did this, whether it's on 4chan or anywhere else, they think that it's funny and they get to use the internet. And my guess is they love the internet like we do, right? But what they don't know is you're doing untold damage to the internet, because you're letting the establishment then turn around and go, the internet is not trustworthy, it's filled with fake news, let's figure out a way to reduce its power, shut it down, regulate it, and make sure you take the freedoms away. So Anna, you're right, this is an incredibly difficult issue. It is real, there is fake news out there, it does deceive people, but there's no easy answers. And I think that the solutions that, I am very afraid of the solutions that Congress is gonna come up with and what the rest of the media is going to suggest to make sure the competitors don't get the upper hand on them.
Right. We gotta take a break, let's do that. And when we come back, updates on the referendum in Spain. There were huge rallies, I'll give you the details on that and more.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Ben Peck writes, I'm a country music fan and progressive. The audience is by no means a monolith, especially younger fans.
You like country music.
I like country music, I do. About a third of my iTunes is country music. Mm-hmm. A lot of it old school, mm-hmm. But yeah.
A third?
I think so.
What?
I've got a lot of Johnny Cash on there. I got the Highwaymen, and then I got stuff that's a little bit more folk music. I've got Devil Goes Down to Georgia, et cetera. And I got my son into it now. Mm-hmm. He likes country music too.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, and Vance says, the problem that faces our country is the sad truth. Democrats want to be Republicans without the stigma of being Republican. So for the corporate Democrats, that's unfortunately very true. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. The Spanish region of Catalonia held a referendum recently over the past weekend. And the referendum, of course, has to do with the idea of separating from Spain and the central government of Madrid. Now, before I give you the details on how that referendum went and the insane number of people that were injured due to police brutality, I want to share the most recent update, which involves the King of Spain and a very rare speech that he gave today, which which was rather forceful in regard to being against the separatists and making statements calling for unity in Spain. Now, King Felipe VI of Spain accused the region's separatists or separatist leaders of inadmissible disloyalty and of creating a situation of extreme gravity that threatened the country's constitution and unity. He also said that with their irresponsible conduct, they can even put at risk the economic and social stability of Catalonia and the whole of Spain. Now, quickly, let's talk about the economic issues at play here. If Catalonia were to separate from Spain, Spain would lose about 20% of its economy. Some of the most wealthy people live in Catalonia. There is an income or wealth redistribution issue there where these wealthy earners obviously pay more in taxes. Those taxes are redistributed to the poorer communities amongst the Spanish. And another thing to keep in mind is that Catalonia actually has or owes a huge portion of the public debt. And so one argument is that if they separate, they wouldn't be obligated to pay that debt back to the central government. So those are some of the key issues at play here. Now, earlier in the day, today, protesters blocked dozens of roads across Catalonia. Farmers used their tractors to cut off highways, and demonstrators shut down some of the main roads in Barcelona. The strike, which was backed by the regional government of Catalonia, also brought the subway system and bus network to a standstill during most of the working day. Now, I want to be clear about something. Although the day that they voted unfortunately ended in turmoil and violence, mainly because of the police response to those protesters, today was largely peaceful. It seemed more as a celebratory day as opposed to a day met with violence. So here is some video kind of showing you what it looked like. And these are individuals who are, again, calling for the separation of Catalonia from Spain.
And the people of Catalonia, protesters or voters, were never violent. It was the cops who were violent.
Right.
And often the states throughout the world will do this. They'll say, oh, we're worried about the violence. Well, you're the one who started it in the first place. So look, the court in Spain said that this vote was not legal. I'm not a constitutional expert in Spain, so I don't know if that's true or untrue and if that was a correct ruling or not. But I do know that the government's reaction was disastrous.
Absolutely.
So if the vote is not legal anyway, and the courts have ruled that it's not valid, why do you have to go in there with batons and shooting rubber bullets at people who are trying to vote and grab them by the hair and drag them out of voting booths? Are you insane?
I mean, we're
what
talking
a terrible
about-
counterproductive response.
So, and we're not just talking about like young, healthy people that were met with violence. There was, footage showing elderly people being dragged out of voting booths and that type of behavior, which was uncalled for. And there were even some of the separatist leaders who admitted to the press that this is essentially a non-binding vote, considering how the courts have reacted to it. But the central government of Spain really reacted aggressively to this referendum. Now, going back to the referendum, what happened? About 42% of voters showed up to the polls, but part of the reason why voter turnout was so low was because of the intimidation tactics by Spain's central government. Now, national police seized millions of ballot papers and also sealed schools and other buildings to be used as polling stations. Because of the police violence, around almost 900 people were injured, and that's according to Catalan officials.
So if you wanted to make the point to the people of Catalonia that, hey, don't worry, Spain is a democracy and you'll have full freedom, liberty, and rights here, boy, you picked a curious way to do it. You're trying to vote? Okay, bar the doors, rip up the ballots, beat the people up trying to vote. That is not a winning strategy to win hearts and minds.
Especially if you claim to value democracy, because that means that anyone that you disagree with, you will meet them with violence. That is not democracy.
Yeah, so. And so look, it is a very hard issue, and it's an issue that a lot of countries struggle with. And in the case of Spain, they have 17 different regions. If they all break up, if Catalonia goes, God knows what goes next. And so the UK has to deal with this with Scotland from time to time. There's plenty of countries in the Middle East that have to deal with this. It's an issue that we all have to grapple with as a world, and there are no easy answers. But I know what the answer isn't, which is violence by the state.
Yeah.
So let them have their vote, and then adjudicate legally whether it is valid or not valid, and let the consequences flow from there. And it might turn out that yes, some countries that we are used to wind up breaking apart and getting smaller and smaller. And later, they might come back together. I mean, look what happened in Europe. And I know that it goes back and forth, but there was war, endless wars in Europe. Hundreds of years of war, thousands of years of war, and one war was literally 100 years, right? And then they came back together in the European Union, and now again, you know, UK leaving. So the answer is definitely not violence, it's democracy and a legal process. So Spain, if you believe in your democracy and you believe in your legal process, let that reign, and then you might have more credibility with the people of Catalonia.
Absolutely. And just real quick, because I do want to do this story justice, so just to give you some historical context, this is not an issue that just arose. There was a similar vote back in 2014, and the majority of those who did make it out to the polls were largely in favor of separating. The region held a symbolic poll in 2014 in which 80% of voters backed complete secession, but only 32% of the electorate turned out. And the Spanish government is arguing that, hey, our constitution indicates that if you guys want to separate, if you want to do this, you need to open up that vote to all Spaniards. And you know, they mention the Spanish constitution in order to make that argument, and it was revised in 1978. But there was also something super interesting that happened in the early 2000s. So back in 2006, there was essentially an agreement by the parliament in Spain and the parliament in Catalonia that Catalonia would be its own separate nation. But then 4 years later, the courts came in and they're like, no, no. That's not going to happen. And so they essentially said, you guys are Catalans are a nationality, but you are not your own nation. And so it's gone back and forth, further, you know, irritating people and frustrating people. So as Cenk mentioned, it's a difficult situation. It's very complicated, but that is currently what's going on in Spain right now.
And Franco, back in the day, oppressed Catalonia, and that's how it began in the first place. So let's not make that mistake. Okay, so guys, we got to go for the Sirius Satellite Radio audience. We're going to come right back because we have to do a story about net neutrality and how they're trying to kill it. And then I've got an overtime for the members as well with two extra stories. So if you want to get all of that, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member and get all the content. All right, for the online audience, we'll be back in a minute. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna. James Wiley says, thank you, Cenk, for the highway mention. Made me realize I'm not the only one who still likes them. That's right. You're not. And Bart, you're on our side? Okay, good. And on one post game, you know what we should do that's super fun? We should go through my iTunes.
Okay.
Because you will love it, you will hate it, but you will be greatly amused by it.
Yeah.
Okay. It is a fascinating collection of music. But not today, because today, what do you have, Anna?
So something happened during my run this morning.
Uh-oh.
That I want to share.
Oh no!
Whenever I attract crazy people, like I really do. So you don't want to miss it.
All right, yeah. That's tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Let me read you one last tweet here. Tim Joyce says, "Threaten the country's unity? That would seem to be rather the point of an independence referendum."
Yeah.
So that, I don't know, I'm amused by that. You're right. It's kind of a weird insult. I'm going to play golf. You are threatening to play a game with a stick and a ball. Yeah, that's right. I said I'm going to play golf. Anyway, you didn't need that analogy. We move forward.
All right. The biggest threat to keeping the internet free and fair is this guy. His name is Ajit Pai. And he is the FCC chairman. He's also a gigantic douchebag. Now, he used to be the lawyer for Verizon, a huge telecommunications company. And now he is the chairman of the FCC, the regulatory body that is supposed to represent us, the consumers, and ensure that our best interests are in mind. But that doesn't seem to be the case because Ajit Pai wants to do away with net neutrality. Now, unfortunately, the Senate has reconfirmed him as the chairman of the FCC, and that vote just took place. In a 52-41 vote, the U.S. Senate reconfirmed Pai to another term on the Federal Communications Commission. Now, Pai seeks to dismantle regulations that prevent internet providers like Verizon, his former employer, from slowing traffic to websites whenever they wish. He's eager to roll back rules that stop providers from blocking online content at their discretion, and he opposes restrictions on carriers that prohibit them from accepting payments to speed up websites beyond that which their lesser competitors can afford. So understand that he is essentially going to open the floodgates for the same type of corruption that we're currently experiencing among our politicians, where the biggest internet players, the ones that are already established and already extremely lucrative and profitable, would have more of a say over internet speeds than anyone else, essentially squashing their competition. Ajit Pai thinks that's great, and he also thinks that, hey, you know what? A free market will kind of sort all that stuff out, which we all know is not the case.
So let's break this down further. So his idea is, well, the internet's a little too free now, so what we should do is regulations. Now, he couches it in terms of, oh, I'm going to take away regulations from the Obama administration. But wait a minute, you're passing a new regulation that says that Verizon and AT&T and all the different internet providers can do whatever they please and not protect the freedom of the internet where everything is as it's always been. So you are the one disrupting the market. You are changing the market. So please, for God's sake, at least be honest about it. Will it be the same rules? He says, well, it won't be, but I think the companies will voluntarily not discriminate against their competitors. Because that's what corporations do, right? They voluntarily don't compete with their competitors. That happens all the time. Can anyone really be that stupid, that naive?
He's not that stupid. He knows what the reality is. And you know, it's already happened. And luckily, since we've had regulations in place, consumers and you know, various companies have had protections against the type of you know, terrible behavior that we would see if we rolled back net neutrality. So I want to give you some specific examples that should raise some eyebrows. Let's go to graphic 29. So Verizon, again, Ajit Pai's former employer, T-Mobile and AT&T, for example, collectively blocked 241 million consumers from using Google Wallet several years ago because the service competed with one that each had a financial stake in, the unfortunately named ISIS Mobile Wallet.
Oops.
Okay. So a lot going on there.
Okay. So they literally, this, to be fair to them, this is before the rise of ISIS in the Middle East. So they thought it was a good idea to name something ISIS Mobile Wallet. Okay, just bad luck on their part.
Yeah, okay. It was a coincidence.
Okay, now, but you know, as Anna correctly stated, it is our opinion, hers and mine in this particular case, that Ajit Pai is a douche nozzle. Now, but that opinion is informed by facts,
right.
And these are among those facts. We didn't wake up one day and think, boy, I'll pick a random guy like Ajit Pai and dislike him. No, when someone says, no, these guys will not block their competitors, and we know for a fact that they already have, and logic indicates in order to maximize profit, they always will.
Right.
And we have abundant evidence to that effect, and you tell us, no, just trust my former employer that paid me a lot of money earlier, and by the way, will very likely pay me even more later after I leave this office. No, we're not going to trust you. That's not how the government works. And you're supposed to look out for us, and not the people who pay you, but that's not what Ajit Pai is doing.
So I only gave you one example. There are more. 5 years ago, AT&T blocked certain iPhone users from accessing FaceTime unless they upgraded to more expensive data plans. So there's another example. And if Ajit Pai has his way, he would get rid of the regulations that prevent that type of predatory behavior. Also,
wait, I thought they would voluntarily give us everything for free. Aren't these nonprofits? Oh, they want to maximize profit. Whoa,
so
that's weird. I didn't see. Apparently, Ajit Pai didn't learn that in school.
So keep in mind, there's a lot at stake. So net neutrality, of course, is the biggest issue here because these internet service providers will get to decide which websites and which businesses they can slow down speeds for. But another issue is the price that you will end up paying for, you know, services that you need, you know, essential services to keep you connected to friends, family members, work. So you're going to pay more, and then you are also not going to have as much of an option in terms of, let's say, where you get your news because of all of these monopolies, all of these telecommunications companies that have bought up all of these media organizations. The speeds for those websites will be fast, while the speed for independent news sites will be much slower because they don't want that competition.
So a lot of the right wing here is actually on the right side of this story, okay? Because they also have websites and blogs and all the other things that they enjoyed doing on the internet. The right wing is familiar with the internet, and they like it, and they should. So this is one that almost the whole country agrees with. On the other side is these corporate powers and their lackeys like Ajit Pai and all of the Republicans, the 51 Republicans, who just said, yes, please search and destroy the internet for us, Ajit Pai, because we all get paid by the internet providers and we're corrupt and we'd like to institute that corruption. Now, a conservative website pointed out to Ajit Pai, hey, wait a minute, you asked for public comment, but it looks like there's hundreds of thousands of comments that came in that were fake comments from Russia. And Pai dismissed their concerns.
Yeah.
Oh, you're conservatives, actual conservatives? I don't care about you. No, oh, look at this, wonderful comments from Russia. Are they from Russia? Oh, well, what a wonderful coincidence. This is Russia supporting the Trump administration again. Another coinkydink, okay?
Yeah.
So when he sees that and he dismisses it, you know what that means? He's not only dishonest, he knows he's dishonest. To the point of his dishonesty, there was 47,000 complaints pertaining to alleged net neutrality violations on the part of internet providers. And what did the FCC do? They combated efforts to publicize them, especially before the time period for public comments until it was over, okay? So they're like, oh, we don't want the public finding out what's actually happening, because Ajit Pai is sitting there with a straight face telling people, no, they would never violate net neutrality. My beloved former employers and future employers would just do things that are good for everybody out of the goodness of their hearts. But Ajit, you know that there's 47,000 complaints about them doing just that. Oh, is there? I was trying to hide that. No. One more thing. In 2013, when a Verizon attorney was asked in court about, hey, wouldn't you guys do, you know, things that would advantage you and disadvantage your competitors, like slowing down websites. In 2013, that attorney said, but for these rules, we would be exploring those types of arrangements. Yes, they admitted in legal papers, of course, we're going to look for a competitive advantage. And if the government is corrupt enough to give us a monopoly, we will of course use that monopoly to maximize our profits. Did we stutter? What are we, stupid? We're gonna make less money? No, I bribe politicians that we made it legal. So I give them campaign donations. They find one of my employers. There's 330 million people in the country. You can't find one knucklehead who thinks that corporations are Mother Teresa and would voluntarily do the right things. And oh my God, Ajit, you got such a big position. Oh, mommy and daddy are so proud. Okay, And so you give him all these things, and then he goes, what 47,000 complaints? Verizon lawyers admitting, of course, they're going to do anti-competitive stuff and destroy the internet. Oh, golly gee, I must have missed that. So whether you're conservative or progressive or anywhere in the middle, this is the one thing we should all agree to. Protect the internet, because the establishment and the corruption is coming for it. In this case, it happens to be in the form of Ajit Pai and 51 Republican corrupt senators who backed them because they get campaign donations to be corrupt. Don't let them destroy the internet.
Yep. And by the way, I feel like the first fact that supports the argument that he's a douchebag was the picture that we showed you. I mean, just look at this guy. Just
so the
quick.
First picture with the, you know,
all
why
right, face
so
he, alone.
Yeah, not on face, on mug alone. On his mug, if you will.
Yeah.
So he does that thing with the rhesus.
Because he's so cool. Like, he's such a cool guy, right? With his freaking Converse and his skinny jeans. Like, oh, I'm one of you guys. I'm going to screw you over, but I'm one of you guys. No, you're not cool.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not invited to the club.
whatever club you have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I'm invited to the club either, but still.
Okay. Still. But to Anna's point, like the Reese's thing is to get you to. It's meant to be endearing,
right?
Like, I like Reese's too, and he likes. Oh, and he's so fun,
right? No.
Oh, he took away the internet. What a fun thing to do! Oops. All right, that's enough for today's show. Except for the fact that it's not. I got an overtime segment for you, and we got the post game where, again, Anna, I don't know if you got across that. I don't know the story, but runs into someone while jogging. Get all that, and by the way, I'm gonna do the overtime. Live for the members too. It'll be after the post game. So tytnetwork.com/join. Oh yeah, bye bye.
Oh, bye bye.